Good morning, good morning to Only Believe. Church, I remind you today that you are a focused people that cannot be taken off point, that your focus and your faces are set like a flint upon Christ. You're not afraid to endure hard things. You're not afraid to walk through problems and circumstances that try to set you off place, because I'm telling you, because your focus is upon Him, you're going to become that holy people and be set apart for His work. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you are set apart. Hallelujah. All right. Well, thank you so much, band and team. We appreciate everything you've done today. We're getting ready to embark on 21 days of prayer. And I know you've heard it from the opener. You've heard it in Dream Team Celebration this morning. You've heard it everywhere. And the reason is because this church believes in prayer. It's not something that we do when we need help. It's something we do before we need help. Amen. And oftentimes I think we wait to call upon the Lord until we've tried everything, exhausted every circumstance, when He just wants to walk with us through everything and not just be called on when there's a problem. It's a great opportunity for us to personally join ourselves with the will of God, but also as a church, corporately, we join ourselves together with His purpose. And I know for some of you, this could be a financial commitment because it's gas to and from church all the time. I get that. I get that. For some of you, it's a time commitment. You're like, Pastor Nicole, I get off work at 5. I got to eat dinner and be here by 6. You know what? Pack the dinner from the night before, throw it in the car and microwave it and eat it on your way. Now, I'm serious because I believe in prayer so much that 21 days can change your life if you will set your face to something different. It makes a difference in our lives. Moms and dads, I've seen parents do this. Listen, your kids can play while you pray. They can snack while you pray. They color. We got some kids running and screaming up the aisles, and we're reminded that Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me." Listen, bring them, try to keep them quiet as long as you can, and then bring them to the altar. I think it's Daniel. He comes up with his grandma every week, picks up prayer requests, or every Saturday, picks up prayer requests and walks them right back. Why? So they can pray, but he chooses the prayer request. It's huge. He's not even 2 yet. So it's possible. Start modeling what you want your kids to do, and they'll get involved. And I'm going to tell you, today, we're not talking about prayer. We're going to practice prayer, okay? So it looks a little bit different. It's okay, but we're going to make room for prayer because we believe in it. It's not something we talk about. It's something we model, and it's something that we do, and we pattern our lives after it because Christ patterned His life after it, okay? So it's important. That's why we're talking about it. But we're going to get into the Word. I got to get through this so we can get to prayer. That's why you're a little earlier than normal. Okay, let's go to Matthew, the 14th chapter, as we open up the Word. This is one of the greatest redemption stories in the Bible, and I feel like that it often goes unnoticed because it's broke up over Scripture. It's not from beginning to end in one chapter. So we're going to be doing a little bit of jumping around in the Scripture today, but it's going to be good. So let's start in the 25th verse of the 14th chapter of Matthew. And here's what it says. We're talking about Peter and the disciples, and it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said, "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage." He immediately said to them, he didn't wait for them to be fearful. He didn't wait to not identify himself. Immediately he saw they were afraid, and he came to comfort that fear. Take courage. Just proof. Christ doesn't bring fear. Christ doesn't allow you to go through circumstances so you will be afraid. He doesn't bring that type of temptation. There's one who brings that, and it's the world and it's the enemy, but it is not Christ. He said, "Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Someone say, impossible things become possible. Any of you know anyone that's walked on water? I don't. I know someone who's been pulled on a boat with water and they're able to like stay on the water. The second the boat stops, they begin to sink. This was something that was impossible, made possible because Christ was present. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, yet again, immediately, he didn't wait for him to sink up to his neck. He didn't wait for him to sink up over here. He didn't wait till he held his breath for 30 seconds and he couldn't take no more. He immediately came when Peter cried out. Sometimes some of us believe that God, certain situations, whether we put ourselves in them or they just come through life, we believe that God's just watching us like, well, how much can you take? That's not the heart of God. When did you look at your child the last time when you saw them suffering in pain and in fear and go, let's see how long you can handle it? That's not the heart of a father. That's not the heart of a mother. Like, you just, listen, that grandbaby cries, and I'm like, what's going on? Our dog, remember the demon dog? Nightmare? That dog is so intuitive to that child that the second she hears that baby whimper, she runs to that door to look. Who's coming? Do you know she's crying? Something is wrong with the baby. Even a dog will come to a cry. Why do you believe that Christ and God doesn't respond when you cry out? Come on, we're getting into prayer, and in the thinking of the Father has got to be that when I cry out, you hear me, O God. When I'm in need, you come to save and deliver me. Not to just barely touch you. Not just to say, oh, it's going to be okay. Keep struggling. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. That's not Jesus. He come immediately. He reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Early on in Peter's life, Jesus was maturing his faith. This is Jesus's encounter with him, where he bid him to come. Peter wanted to trust. He tried. But when he got out of the boat, even though he was not sinking, did you hear me? When you get out of the boat and your faith is working, immediately a storm starts to surround you. Sent by who? Not by God. By the enemy. He's getting you to lurk at the circumstance around you. Why? So that the very thing we talked about last week, your focus, will be taken off of Christ and put on the circumstance around you. And when you do, you immediately toss faith of Christ out the window and start looking at your natural circumstances. Christ was trying to get Peter to believe more so in him. Peter's like, I believe in you. Bid me come. Come on, Jesus. Just say it's you. And when he did, he took the leap. But because of what was around him, he started to doubt. Pastor Dosik used to say something to us, Dad, used to say something to me. He'd say, Nicole, doubt your doubt. Doubt your doubt. When the enemy comes at you and says, you're sinking, say, no, I doubt you're telling me the truth. And believe on what Jesus says, because his word is what's real. Listen, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what sickness is saying to you. It doesn't matter if the doctors are telling you that you cannot have children. I don't care. It doesn't matter if everyone's telling you, oh, you're never going to be financially free. Lies. Lies. Because the impossible thing becomes possible when Jesus immediately responds to your fear. Take courage. As he lifts you up out of the water and takes care of your need. But you can't be afraid to step out of the boat. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What if it is that our focus determines whether we sink or whether we walk? I just see myself walking. Just keep walking. Just like the song, keep swimming. Just keep walking with Jesus. Don't look at what's around you. Keep your eyes focused like a flint. Not to the left, not to the right. Your peripheral vision, it'll kill you. What's the devil do? Anything peripheral looks bigger and stronger than it does if you just look at it right on sight. You see it. What, you ever been walking by something, you thought something came really fast? It wasn't coming fast. But because it was in your peripheral, it appeared bigger than it was. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Faith in Peter's life continues. Let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Oftentimes, when we focus on the waves, we don't focus on him. We're not to doubt who he is or what he has come to do. The word tells us distinctly what Jesus has come to do. Let's go to the 31st verse. Now, in the Bible, this was, Peter is the same name as Simon, just so you know. He often calls him both names. Here's what it says. It says, Simon, Simon, this is Jesus speaking, Satan has asked to sift each of you. Oh, wait, let me go over here. Let me do the NIV because I had this other one marked. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Jesus himself, Simon, that your faith may not fail. So are we saying that Simon's faith could fail and that Jesus is saying, but I'm praying for that? And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. In other words, your faith could fail. And if it does, you would turn away from me, but you're going to come back. And when you do, strengthen those that are with you. Okay? But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sank, oh, we won't go to there. 34, Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. In Peter's faith journey, something's happening. Christ is seeing something in Peter's life that Peter's not seeing. He is not identifying that he is fail-proof. He thinks, I can't fail. No, Jesus, I love you. But Jesus is warning him. He's giving him a warning saying, Peter, you think you're fail-proof, but I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. And I know that when temptation has come, you failed. But I'm here. I'm here. And this is where it gets crazy because people think like, and by the way, just in this gospel, it was just directed to Peter. But in the other gospels, it actually said that the devil is coming to sift you all like wheat. The disciples' faith in Christ was about to be tested. Now, keep you in mind, this wasn't testing with sexual immorality. This was not testing with drinking too much of the communion wine that had been fermented. This was apostasy. This was losing their faith in Christ, and Christ alone was the Son of God. Do you realize that your belief in Christ is not just attached to your salvation? Hear me out. But when you go through the storms of life and the wind and the waves come and you begin to doubt God's ability to save you from it, you are one step closer to believing that God is not, that Jesus is not the Son of God. This is apostasy. It's to walk away from one's faith, to walk away from the belief in the risen Son of God. And Peter's faith as a whole was being tested. Not his faith to believe for healing, not his faith to feed the 5,000, not his faith to go out and drop his nets and those fish nets to be filled with more fish than he could even obtain on his own. That wasn't what his faith was being tested in. It was being tested in, do you believe that the impossible is possible? Do you believe that with Christ, all things are made new? That I didn't just come to give you a part of new life, but I came to give you life and more abundantly. Church, I'm coming to shake your focus awake. I'm coming to shake your faith in 2025 to say, just like Peter, amen, didn't want to acknowledge that his faith might fail again. What could be present in our life that we have believed cannot be fixed by God's touch? What have we allowed the world to tell us is impossible? Because I want to rip the root right out. His journey continues. Go into verse 39 and 40. Here's what it says. Luke 22, let's go to 39 and 40. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray. Someone say, pray. That you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. This is where Christ is going to the Lord, the Father, these in Gethsemane, or the Mount of Olives, before he's going to be captured and taken to the cross. So he's asking, Lord, are you sure there's no other way that this can be done? Because I'd rather not be crucified. But nevertheless, if it be your will, then I'll do it. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Temptation of what? Temptation of doubt. Temptation of disbelief that what he said was going to happen was going to happen. See, Jesus was going to the Mount of Olives as usual. This was a pattern in Jesus's life that he would skip away from what was happening in town and go up to a place. Oftentimes they prayed in the mountains because they were closer to God. Remember Moses? He went up the mountain where he saw the burning bush, came down with the Ten Commandments. I know you all watch that movie. Don't even act like you haven't. Listen, and it was a routine. Why? So that the disciples would learn to watch him and his behavior, that they would not be asleep. He looked at them and said, your flesh is weak. Well, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. I'm looking at Only Believe Church this morning, and I'm saying, your spirit is willing to pray for 21 days, but your flesh is weak. When you get into about day 10, you're going to think, dear Jesus, what have I got myself into? But you got to keep pressing on. Why? Because like Jesus came to set his face like a flint, like a stone, like something that can endure hardness, like something that can endure some rough terrain when things aren't comfortable, when your wallet isn't as full as it was because you need a little more prayer, that you don't fall into the temptation to believe like the world believes, that God only interrupts your situation when there's no hope left. No, that's called a miracle. I'm not praying every day of my life for a miracle. I've received the greatest miracle, and that's salvation. And with salvation comes healing. And with salvation comes prosperity. And with salvation comes his provision and his deliverance and his love and his kindness and his gentleness. I've got what I need already. But pressing in with prayer will keep me from being tempted to believe that he can't do all things. He can do all things. Amen. Faith in Jesus overall is what we're looking for. Here's the soldiers come in the next ones on down in the verse. If you turn your page, well, for me, turn your page over. In the 46th verse, it says, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our sword? And one of them, Peter, in the other Gospels you'll see, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. What do we see? Peter's faith is yet on a journey. Not only did he not take the word of the Lord that warned him, in fact, he rejects the word and says, no, not me. I would never do that, Lord, because I'm so boastful about my life with you, and I've seen so much that you can't be talking about me. I would never deny you. But yet when asked to pray, Peter's asleep. Because he don't think he can be sifted. He don't think that his faith can ever fall away because of what he's seen, what he's heard. He's walked with Jesus, for goodness sakes. Surely you're not talking about me, Lord. He doesn't believe the warning of the Lord. He doesn't pray. And now he takes matters into his own hands as if he knows more about how Christ is going to lay down his life than Christ himself, who said, no, no, no. This is going to happen the way the Lord wants it to happen. And you can't intervene. But yet he still takes matters into his own hands and intervenes. How many times in our life have we... See, it's so easy when you're reading about Peter. It's so easy when you're talking about someone else's life. But when you're looking at your own, how many times have you read the word about what God said he will do for you and yours? And you're like, yeah, but I don't know about that. You don't know what I've done, Lord, so that's probably not for me. That's for the good people. And so you dismiss what the Lord said to you. And you don't go to prayer about it because, quite frankly, your flesh is weak. You're tired. You work 7 days a week, 12-hour days. You don't have another minute to give to Christ. Yet the point of the matter is by giving him that minute, by giving him 2 minutes, by giving him three, it's so that you won't fall into temptation. And number three, you take matters in your own hands because you're not praying. You're not thinking about what God's will is. You're thinking about how you can fix it. And I know I got some fixers out there. I know I got some fixers. Every mom in here is probably a fixer. Don't even. So he jumps in. Let's go to Luke 22, 54, 61, because here's where it happens. It says, then seizing him, they laid him away. No. Where am I at? Yeah. Sorry. I've messed up my little things here. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with him. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The very word of the Lord, the warning that God had given Peter, that he rejected it because of boastfulness, because of pride in his life, thinking that surely it could not happen to him, had happened. And Peter felt it when the Son of God looked at him and he saw it. He felt terrible. Shame set in over his heart, for he had lost focus of the entire program. Everything that Christ had said he was going to do was happening right now, and Peter had missed it. Peter had lost sight of what was important. The devil had come after Peter's faith. And Peter thought that his faith was tucked away tight and that he knew better and that he would never deny that he knew Christ. Yet there was something in the scripture. Two things I want to bring you to. First of all, notice that it was by a fire that it occurred. And number two, notice that it said Peter followed at a distance. When you and I follow Jesus at a distance, well, yeah, almost all things are impossible, but there's some things that aren't. You know, like, you just don't really realize my situation, and it would take a really big turnaround for this to happen. That's following Jesus at a distance. Because when you're following at a distance, you can't see clearly what's in front of you. You can't hear clearly when you're at a distance from Christ. When you're in relationship with him, when you're in prayer, when you're listening to his word, when you're not taking matters into your own hands, you're drawing near to Christ. And he says, when you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. But you know what? Go back to the prior verse in that in James. He actually is talking about being tempted. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the lies that I'm not enough to take care of that situation that you're looking at. Resist the devil when he says you're never going to have children. Resist the devil when he says you're never going to be financially secure in this life. You'll never be able to give the gift that I'm asking you to give. That's not true. I'm expecting God to tell me a number that I can't manage on my own. Amen. Why? Because I don't want to be Peter with the sword. And I don't want to take matters into my own hand and slice a situation that now God has to come in and fix because I've broke it. So easy to see Peter's faith journey. But how close is ours to his? I really want you to think, in 2024, what did you think God could not do? Because I want you to bring it into 2025. And I want you to bring it into 2025 with a newfound focus, with a newfound prayer life, with a newfound ear that hears what the word of the Lord is saying through the scripture. When the scripture says that it's possible, it's possible. When the word of the Lord says he's with you, he's with you. When the word of the Lord says take a step to the left, take a step to the left, because the enemy sent a dart on your right. And if you don't move what he tells you to move, you're going to be pierced. But if you're not walking with, if you're not praying, if you're not trusting in him and focused in on what he is, you can't hear, you can't see. Amen. You're just tossed to and fro. Just like Peter was on the water. Yet the water was working if he had just kept his eyes on Christ. Amen. He denies him three times. Let's go to John 21. This is the best part of the message because this is where he reconciles him to himself. You know, Peter thought that it was unredeemable. When he went and wept bitterly, he didn't understand what it was. And if you've ever followed the life of Peter, he went back to what he knew. He didn't keep following Jesus. He was a business owner before. He was a fisherman. I don't know if this is true, but I kind of take it as these fishermen were kind of burly, kind of rough. I think they were kind of like maybe the American farmer is, you know. I think they were raw with their words. It was just matter of fact. You know, not many people that aren't matter of fact rips out a sword and just cuts a man's ear off. Like, no, I'm taking on the whole Roman army here because I think I know what's better. So I think he was a rebel. And I think that's one of the reasons that Christ chose him. because he knew that the exact rebellion that he was setting up then, that he didn't take orders lightly from anybody, but he knew that once he would begin to follow him, he would follow hard after him, and he would deliver what he was going to do. He knew that he could be turned and his heart could be molded into what Christ needed him to be. But he immediately goes back to what he knew, catching fish, just being a fisherman. But let's look what Jesus says, because he meets him there. And we're going to start, I think, I'm going to go back to this other, if I'm in John 21, sorry, let me get there. We're going to go to the eighth verse in 21, just for a minute, because I want to read 8 and 9. So they're back, and they're fishing. It says, the other disciples followed in a boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Now Jesus appears to the disciples. This time they know it's him. They know it's Jesus early in the morning. They can see him. But it says, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now, reach on down to, that's important to the story. Let's go on down to 15. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he looked, said to him, follow me. There used to be a song that we sang years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that talks about how Jesus knows where you left you. He knows where it went wrong in your life. And oftentimes, the exact spot where it went wrong, he takes you back. You ever heard the Monopoly game? You don't pass go, you don't get to collect $200, you get to go right back there because you got in jail, but you got to go right back to where you left off. Our faith is like that with Christ. We often think that these life situations and struggles that we go through don't, well, no. He's forgiven that. Yeah, he forgave it. Just like Hannah prophesied this morning. Your slate has been wiped clean. It's not just, it's brand new. It's brand new. It's not just been cleansed. It's wiped clean. But what happens with Christ is he takes you back to the spot where you missed the faith. Right back, and you get another chance to do it right. You get a chance with stronger faith because you've been through a little bit of fire. You've been through a little bit of walking on water. You've been through a little bit of life storms, but it takes you right back to that spot. Notice that when he brings Peter back, there was a fire right there, being cooked up again. He doesn't ask Peter once, do you love me? Because Peter didn't deny him once. He didn't ask him just twice because Peter didn't deny him twice. He asked him 3 times to undo in Peter's life what he needed to know was forgiven. Do you get that? In your life, when we make a mistake, when we mess up, Christ knows what you're capable of. He doesn't look at the failure that you've done. He brings you back, not for his sake, for Peter's sake. You think Peter came to that fire and didn't remember right where he had denied Christ? You think he didn't need to express to Christ His sorrowfulness, he already wept bitterly. He knew that he had failed and missed the mark. Yet he's come back to what he knew. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, you and I got unfinished business. Why? Because Peter needed to know that Jesus believed in him again. Church, Jesus didn't just wipe Peter's slate clean. He gave him a brand new one. He believed in Peter so much that the church began on Peter's shoulders. Upon this rock will I build my church. I get it. Peter's not the rock. The point is the foundation of the disciples was going to be the foundation of the church. In spite of who Peter was, O ye of little faith. O ye that didn't listen to my word. O ye that didn't pray and fell asleep in my darkest hour when I just needed some help. O you that took matters in your own hands. O you that served me and saw the work of miracles and walked away saying, I don't even know that guy. Yet God still chose Peter to build his church. Later on, you read through Acts. Acts is the one where the Holy Spirit comes, fills Peter with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, a man who denies Christ, not once, not twice, three times, begins to proclaim the gospel with boldness and strength and courage. He was fearless and could not be taken down. All because the Holy Spirit came in and empowered him and took that faith on a journey. Church, I remind you, your faith is on a journey. And God's looking to take you right back to the same place that you said was impossible and make it possible. Angie, I know you got something impossible in your mind right now. I'm telling you, 2025 is going to be different for you. I'm serious. I don't know what. I just saw this light above you. I'm telling you, God's got a plan for your life. The enemy came to throw you off course. But God says this is going to be a year of course for you. You're going to see the markers and you're going to know what I want you to do. You're not going to be dismayed anymore. You've been feeling out of place. I'm going to just say that. Like, I don't know if it's family. I don't know. Relationship-wise, I'm not sure because I've spoke something else to you before in private. But I'm telling you, the markers are going to become clear and you're going to know which way to go and where to run. And your course is going to become very plain. Have hope, my girl. Pick it back up. Let all the redeemed prophesy and sing. I can hear the wind blowing. Blowing. What do you declare different in 2025 that you let fall to the ground in 2024? Church, pick your faith back up. Pick the impossible things back up and watch God show up on your behalf. These 21, look at that. She just gets me crying already. Praise the Lord. Quit making me cry, Angie. I love to see God remap someone's life and put it back on. Amen? How many of you have been lost in the dark, like a goose in the fog, right? And you just needed one word, just one word. God, let me know you're there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I got to stay on point. Okay, so we're going to pick up our faith. We're going to listen to his word. We're going to pray and begin to commune with the Father. We're not taking matters into our own hands. Even when we think it looks hopeless, you don't have to do that. We're going to keep our faith in God. Every single one of us on every single day is trying to be sifted like wheat. In case you don't know what that is, they put them in this basket and they sift the wheat. They're trying to get the wheat seed from the chaff. And they do this, they throw it up and they blow it out. And it takes all the chaff and blows it out so that the wheat seed is there. He's trying to sift you. He's trying to strip you of what you know. He's trying to make you doubt and disbelieve that you've got what it takes to finish the purpose that God's called you to do. He wants to make the circumstances around you so rough, so boisterous. Let the wind blow. Let the waves rock your boat so that you'll throw in the towel and say, this isn't working. There is no Jesus. That's what he wants. But you know what? The more wind that comes and the more your boat rocks and the more struggle and the more persecution and the more devil throws at you, the stronger you remain. You resist the enemy no matter what comes your way. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You keep believing that the impossible things are possible. No matter what, when he comes, he will find faith in you and I. Why? Because we believe in salvation. Therefore, everything else in our life comes with that answer. In lieu of today, I must stop this message. And I know that sounds crazy, but stand to your feet because we are going to practice some things today. How many of you have been present in a prayer service here at the church? Raise your hands if you've been present. Okay. There's a few that have not. A few that have not. Now keep in mind, faith is a part of prayer. Did you hear me? You can't just pray patterns without faith. It doesn't work. When you pray and ask, you must believe that what you've prayed is going to happen. That's the whole point of prayer. In the prayer service, what we do is the Bible tells us that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. We've done that. We've had our worship service. That's amazing. Tomorrow night, you'll come. There'll be music because we'll enter in. But then we share the word. Why do we share the word? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So in order to encourage and strengthen your faith, we read the scripture, which, by the way, we're going to start with the pattern of the Lord's Prayer and teach you how to pray the Lord's Prayer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and maybe into Saturday, I think. Not sure. Why? Because you need a pattern. If God's already created a pattern, why are we trying to make up our own? There is a pattern of prayer. The disciples said, teach us, Lord, how to pray. He said, here it is. It wasn't just the words that he wanted you to pray. It was the way it was written. Come to me with thanksgiving and gladness in your heart. And then it goes on down the line. We're going to pray for 25 minutes, personal prayer. These are prayer requests that have been turned over the last month. Okay, we did not have prayer yesterday, which we normally have on the first Saturday. So all these have been prayed over by our prayer team and the pastors of the house. But we're asking you to join your faith with other people about these things. You don't have to take all 25 minutes to pray about other people's prayer. You should also take this time to pray about some things in your own life and what you need. Now, if you don't know, I'm going to be praying the tabernacle prayer out of the Bible. I've always prayed the Lord's Prayer my whole life. That's been the model and the prayer that I was taught, the pattern that I've patterned my life after. However, there are other patterns of prayer in the Bible. We do have those out at the lobby. If after we start this, you want to go get one, you can. You'll see me on my phone. It's down here. And I have the Pray First app. Maybe some of you want to download that today. It's a beautiful thing. You can keep notes in there, all the things you want to pray about so you don't forget, and then erase them when they come true. I love the erase button. That's a nice one because that means God answered and you heard it, right? And you get to take it off your list. It's a good thing. But if you need help with that, that's why I'm looking at my phone. Why? Because it's not a pattern I'm used to. And each different thing in the tabernacle represents something different. And so you pray according to that, okay? I know. It's if you haven't prayed a prayer with a pattern, it may look a little weird to you. But then there's music playing. Why is there music playing? Because I'm a firm believer that when you pray, you should pray aloud. Not loud, aloud. If you want to pray loud, but I think everyone's going to know what you're praying about. You might want to calm down just a little bit so we don't all know. But the music is at a level so that you can't hear your neighbor pray. if that makes sense. Because there are things privately that I want to pray about that I don't want everyone else knowing about. Maybe I'm struggling with something and I don't want everyone to know what I'm struggling about, right? So I don't want to toot that out too loud. You might want to lower your voice on that part. But the reason is because if faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, then when you're speaking out your prayer, your ears are hearing it. Your mind and your spirit is all growing as you pray. This is why it's called relationship. This is a relationship. We walk with him. We sit at his feet. So we're going to practice this today, just the 25-minute part, because I want to prove to all of you that you can do it. Now, here's how it looks. Some of you might sit and pray. Some of you might lay and pray, like Richard. He's probably going to lay on the floor, and that's okay. Just walk around him. Some of you might sit or kneel at your pew. Some of you might want to go in the hallway and walk and pray. Whatever you want, that's up to you how you pray. At the end of that 25 minutes, we're going to convene back in here, and then corporately, we're going to say a short prayer, and then I'm going to dismiss you. I know there's a winter storm coming, but it's really not supposed to hit us until 5 o'clock. So we could stay until 5, but we won't. We won't. I can't pray that long either. My dad probably could have stayed and prayed. Church, lift up your hands to God. Before we pray, I want to take the action here. This is so off course today. We don't do this, but if there's someone here in the house today that has lost their faith in God and wants to rededicate their lives to Jesus, or maybe you're here for the first time today and you're like, you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to start to believe in him. Every eye closed, every head bowed, as to not embarrass anyone. Is there anyone here in the house today that would say, Pastor Nicole, I want to give my life to Christ. I have fallen away. I have fallen away. Just lift your hand up higher if that's you. I know every hands are raised, but I'm doing it on purpose. Anybody? Anybody? Yep. Yes, I see that. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Okay, those of you that lifted your hands, there's a couple of them. Prayer team, if you saw their hands come up, I have one in the balcony over here and one over here. I just want you to say this prayer with me right where you are. Right where you are. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for doubting in Jesus. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came and died for me. You washed my sin away, and now I have an eternity in heaven with you. Satan, I don't live for you no more. I've given my life to Jesus, and now I'm going to live for him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, you're born again. And I see you wiping your eyes. I want you to look at your neighbor, even if you came by yourself, and I want you to tell him, I just gave my life to Jesus. I just gave my life to Jesus. There you go. Good. Now, we're going to get with you. We're going to get your name and get you some information, and we want to get you guys a Bible if you don't have one and get you involved in the church straight away. Okay, church, so we're going to start praying together, okay? And we're going to play like we've already done our worship service right before, and they're going to turn on the music, and we're all going to go to our places and just pray. And however you pray, we're going to do it. And if you need help with your pattern, there's books out in our Welcome Center. I want you to go get it. It's going to help you. It's the Pattern of Prayer book. It's called Pray First. And if you want your app, download it. You're going to need it for the next 21 days. Because I'm going to tell you, 21 days praying the same way can kind of get boring for those of you that are creative. For people like me, I can pray the same prayer forever and ever and ever and add the new words that I need to add, and I'm perfectly okay with that. I can order the same meal at the same restaurant every single day and eat it just the same. Doesn't bother me. Ashley wouldn't die. She would have to have a different sauce every night. Okay? So go ahead. Larry, you guys are going to turn on our prayer music, and we're going to start our 25-minute countdown. Okay? Please, guys, tarry for 25 minutes. You got this, okay? Let's go.
When did I start to forget? need I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able.
You are more than able.
I've come a long way. I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. 'Cause I know who I am, and I can't stay where I'm at. Oh, we've come this far by faith. Oh, yes, we have. And I just can't turn back, 'cause he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. Hey! There's so much more to the story. Hey! You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me.
Jesus, you alone. resolve to know nothing but you crucified. Somehow in this room right now, it is enough. The weight of the world, too much for the souls of men. But somehow you hold it all upon the cross. Calvary's enough. Calvary's enough. When I know nothing, when I know too much, what I choose to know. Resolve to die, scarlet flowing from your hands inside. Covenant is sealed and ratified. You knew the cost. As the darkness fell and the temple curtain tore, the death I deserved, you made yours upon the cross.
God, oh, all my life you have been faithful. the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Let me remind you, church, it's not about the words being perfect that you say. You know, I find myself sometimes when I hear myself praying, I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't mean it like that. Let me say it this way. And God's like, really? I know your heart. This is just you and me. Don't try to make prayer perfection. Just be you. And I'm reminded today that as I was filling my 25 minutes with me talking, sometimes prayer is not talking at all. It's just listening. It's a two-way street. Don't be afraid to just sit and be still. And maybe have a pencil or a pen and a paper and write down what he speaks to you so you don't forget. God's got great plans for you, church. You know, if there is a night that you can't be here, or maybe you work second shift and it's not available for you to be here Monday through Friday, but it is available for you to be here on Saturday at 8 a.m. That's great. But if it's not, this is just pre-played music off YouTube. You don't need a band. Some of you might not even want music to pray to. You can create the atmosphere in your home. You just got to take the time to do it. Give your heart to him. And let's see what he can do. Amen? You did it. You did it. Whether you lasted 5 minutes, 15 minutes, or all 25, you did it. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to commune with you. God, we thank you for listening and being present in our time of need. Thank you, Lord, that when we're fearful, you're immediately there. Thank you, God, that when we take a step of faith that we thought we could do and we look to the sides, to the left and to the right, that you're immediately there to catch us. Thank you that you're a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Thank you that you loved me when I didn't even think I was lovable. Thank you that you count on me to do what I was birthed for and purposed for, and no sin disqualifies me from it. God, that my heart is repentive in what I do, and I come running straight back to you, and you give me a brand new slate. Same purpose, same plan, different slate that I get to try all over again. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. God, and through him, this transformation happens in our life. God, we set our faces towards you for the next 21 days. Speak to us clearly. Lead us and guide us. Father, walk with us. We're asking, Father, we consecrate these next 21 days to you. Speak to us clearly as we begin to look towards you and get our focus clear. God, and bring back the things of faith. Take us back to the same spot where we lost our faith, Father, in something that you said you could do. Father, something that we knew you could do, something we thought you could, that the devil came to steal that from us. God, right now, we reinstate the impossible. We reinstate those things that the world says are impossible, and we declare them possible with you. For with God, all things are possible. Father, we ignite our faith for 2025. And Father, we set our sights on you. Now be with us. God, keep us safe as we go through this storm. Father, be with our PDM family as they're in the air right now, Father, going to the crusade grounds. Father, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed, that a nation would be changed with the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you be with us as we go and bring someone across our paths, Lord, today that we could share the gospel message with. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Only believe, we love you, and with God, all things are possible. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.